This is Tangents. It's episode 21, which is fitting since I'm pretty sure my guest was 21 when I put him to work as a pub quiz host and writer here in Springfield. And that was so long ago, he's an ER resident now. Sam was looking for questions on the oddly specific sports relocations. Let's see how he did.
Oh yeah, I'm content to call Lexington home for another few months. Plenty of work to be done, plenty of fun to be had, so that's home.
So there in Lexington, what do you eat?
Yeah, so the local flair here, you know, the dish that most people would claim is like the original thing here, is called a hot brown. And it's a little bit similar to Springfield's horseshoe in that it's kind of an open face deal. But instead of the cheese sauce, primarily, you know, they've got this gravy that they use instead.
Like a brown gravy. Yeah.
Yes.
Not as good.
Oh, not even close. It looks awful.
I will eat one. In fact, Public House, when Public House was still open here, Public House 29, they had a Kentucky Hot Brown.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But now they're closed and you can't try it. So sorry.
I know that place. That never made any sense to me.
What is your favorite movie soundtrack?
Favorite movie soundtrack. I think this answer was used during a previous episode, but I'm okay repeating it because it's that good. The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou has tons of these amazing bossa nova style David Bowie covers. And I just love listening to that in the background. Like, it's very chill soundtrack.
It's good for studying medicine as you've been doing.
I mean, I don't want to give it all the credit, but Life Aquatic soundtrack equals MD.
If you want to be a doctor,
start listening.
That's all you have to do. What pop culture thing are you into right now?
Latest thing that I've been having on TV, definitely season 2 of Tokyo Vice on HBO.
Tokyo Vice.
So good. And I didn't realize when I was watching the first season, you know, I never paid attention to the opening credits very much, that it is actually like based on a real person who had some of these experiences as an American journalist in Japan in the 90s, covering the Yakuza beat. So I thought that was pretty cool to learn. Get it on the list. You'll enjoy it.
I should do that. Yeah. What is your favorite piece of trivia that either sticks in your brain or you drop on people randomly?
The piece I keep handiest, I think, that most people that I encounter, particularly people my age, don't know, is that there's one person who's been the president of the United States who was neither elected to the presidency or to the vice presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Gerald Ford.
Gerald R. Ford. Of course, when Spiro Agnew resigned, he took over as Veep for Nixon. And then when Nixon resigned, he landed himself in the job. Where do you quiz, live and online, if either?
Online, a couple of years ago, obviously during the pandemic, we were
during COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. We were regulars with your show, Russ. Lately, more in person, a establishment that I hang out at a fair amount here in Lexington just started up with the Sporkle online, the Sporkle National Trivia League.
Yep.
So that's been a good experience so far. Yeah, it's been going pretty well. They have a pretty lively host, so that makes it good too.
It's a college town. It's a big city.
Oh yeah,
there's no shortage of places to quiz.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wednesday and Thursday, I think there's over 10 places to play.
Yeah, plenty of places to go.
Oh yeah.
What is the last thing you looked up on Wikipedia?
Oh, I am notorious. I look up stuff on Wikipedia all day, every day. There's the most random things that pop into my brain. Let's see if I can actually find it because I don't remember. Okay, last thing I looked up was probably the Phantom Tollbooth, believe it or not. Oh wow,
the Norton Juster book.
Yeah. I loved that book when I was like a little kid, and and I don't think you fully understand like some of the themes and some of the lower level stuff when you're a kid, but I still remember loving that book.
That's a good thing to look up on Wikipedia. Nice job. All right. You ready to play the game?
Let's roll.
The game is simple. I'll start with a question, answer it correctly, and you get to choose the topic for the next question based on a set of tangents from your answer. Keep answering correctly to stay in the game. If you don't know an answer, it's not the end of the world. You're allowed to miss two questions, but once you miss your third, the game is over. We will pick up where Paul left off with this question. What fictional rival of Jem and the Holograms shares its name with a real band formed by Glenn Danzig in 1977?
Glenn Danzig. My dad has a good story about Glenn Danzig,
actually. I was going to say, your dad probably has some Danzig stories.
You should ask him about it next time you see him. But anyway, the answer to this question is going to be The Misfits. Great band.
It is. The Misfits, yeah. And that gets you your tangents. Same name, the 1970s, or rivals?
Let's try out 1970s. That's nice and broad.
1970s. Created by Leslie Scott in the 1970s, what Parker Brothers game gets its name from the Swahili word for build?
This is about the only game that I know of that involves actually vertical rising, you know, playing pieces or boards. I'm pretty sure this is Jenga.
That is Jenga. Correct. Nice job, Sam. And that gets you the following tangents. The 1970s, toys, games, or language.
I do enjoy a good etymology and language questions. Let's see if that'll take me down that path.
Let's try that. Here is your question in language. What former running back for the Bears and Jets has a last name that means loud in music terminology?
It's my favorite kind of question with the multiple ends. I'm 89.5% certain this is Forte.
That is Matt Forte. Correct. Nice job. That gets you the following tangents. Sports. There you are. Bears, Jets, or language?
Language brought me to a good place, but you're tempting me.
Good. That's the idea.
I'll take the bait. Sports.
Sports it is. Here's your question. What former bat boy for the Oakland A's picked up the Razzie for his Adams Groove from the 1991 film version of The Addams Family?
Oh, boy. Trying to picture. So this is now a three strikes and out situation. So I miss. Okay.
That's right.
Out on the third miss.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I feel a little bit better about this then. I'm going to guess. I feel like I should know this.
You should know this.
I don't know. Was Ice Cube a bat boy for the Oakland A's? Let's try Ice Cube.
Ice Cube is a good guess. But the answer here, you actually got his stage name from his days as a bat boy for the A's. That is MC Hammer.
Oh, you're kidding.
MC Hammer.
I did not know that. Oh, that's good trivia.
Well, there you go. You can drop that anytime. Tangents. There you go. And it gets you these tangents, sports, California, Razzies, or the 1990s.
We'll go with, I'll try one more in sports.
Sports. All right. The Louisville Lip was one of the nicknames of one athlete who claimed in his 1975 autobiography that he threw his Olympic gold medal into the nearby Ohio River after being denied service at a restaurant.
Man, is this Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali?
It is Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali. That is your first one on a long new streak.
Here we go. Back in the saddle.
And to get you these tangents, the 1970s, sports, nicknames, or rivers?
Such a variety. Let's keep going with sports.
Sports it is. What pro sports team in Ohio's largest city chose its name from a fan poll entry that suggested they should honor the area's contribution to America's Civil War efforts?
I have not read this fact, you know, on its own in particular that I can recall, but based on the fact that Columbus is actually the biggest city in Ohio, and not a lot of people realize that, I'm going to go ahead and guess that this is the Columbus Blue Jackets.
It is the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's right. Yeah, the trick there is, it doesn't seem like Columbus would be the biggest city in Ohio, with
exactly.
Cleveland and Cincinnati
yep.
there, but the three largest cities in Ohio all start with the letter C. That correct answer gets you these tangents, sports, Ohio, blue, or the American Civil War.
Oh, I do love Civil War trivia, but I'm hot on sports. Sports it is.
All right, sports it is. Both the Red Wings and Pistons play their home games in an arena whose naming rights are owned by what company? That can't legally use its familiar slogan in Canada.
Can't use its familiar slogan in Canada. All right, so what about Canada would prevent a familiar slogan from being used either for legal reasons or for cultural reasons? That's a stone cold one here. All right, you know, Detroit, cars. Let's go with Ford, just as a guess.
It's a good guess, right? Ford's a big company in the area. But when you think Detroit style pizza, what do you think?
Oh, like square corner pizza? Gross.
Yeah. Like Little Caesars, right?
Yeah. Pizza Pizza.
Pizza Pizza. Yeah. There was a pizza franchise in Canada called Pizza Pizza. So they can't legally use Pizza Pizza in Canada. So that's going to be your second miss. So now you got to be perfect.
Yep.
No pressure.
Here we go.
But you have these tangents to work with. Detroit, sports, stadiums, or naming rights.
Got a lot of stuff kind of heading in the same direction on this one. It's an interesting set of tangents. Let's try, maybe stadiums will get me to relocation. Let's go stadiums.
Stadiums. Okay. What geometric wood pattern, with a name from the French for small enclosed space, has been used on the home court of the Boston Celtics since 1946?
I would be permanently evicted from my family if I did not get this question correct. The Celtics play on a parquet basketball floor.
Parquet, spelled differently than the margarine.
But yeah,
parquet is correct. And that gets you the following tangents. Geometry, French, stadiums, or Boston?
Let's keep it going on stadiums, Russ.
Keep it going on stadiums. The stadium known as Minute Maid Park today had a very short run as the namesake of what company, thanks to a series of accounting scandals in 2001.
Unlike some of your contestants, I was only about 6 years old was going on. But being me and watching boring documentaries and else, I do know that the answer to this question is Enron.
That is Enron, right? Yep. And that gets you the following tangents. Scandals, stadiums, money, or the 2000s?
Stadiums. Keep it going.
Right. Your question in stadiums. What major league stadium opened to the public just 5 days after the sinking of the Titanic?
That's a tough one. This is, you know, this is going to be like a handful of guesses here. I would say, all right, sinking of the Titanic, I'm pretty sure the answer is going to be Fenway.
Is that what you're going with?
I'm going to go with yes. That's yes.
Fenway Park is correct.
Oh, yeah. God. Dug my way out of that hole.
All right. That gets you the following tangents. Stadiums, sports, back to sports, 1910s, and parks, which could be anything.
Yeah. Starting to wonder if I've tempted fate enough in stadiums. Let's go down the parks, the Avenue of Parks, if you'll excuse a turn of phrase.
The Avenue of Parks. I will, indeed. Parks. At the 72nd Academy Awards in 1999, Robin Williams performed Blame Canada, a song nominated that year for its use in a film based on what long-running TV series?
Blame Canada, one of the, like, funniest things that my friends and I used to laugh at when we were little kids, because it's based on the long-running TV series that we've grown up with, South Park.
It is South Park. Nice job, Sam. And here are your tangents. Oscars, the 1990s, Canada, or parks? More parks.
Parks.
Going parks. What extreme athlete's name was originally attached to rides built at Six Flags Amusement Parks in 2007 and renamed Pandemonium in 2010?
2007 and 2010. There's a couple names that come to mind, and I'm trying to decide if in the mind of Russ Friedewald, skateboarding is an extreme sport. And I feel like the answer, I mean, it is in the X Games, but I'm not sure that that's the way that you operate. So, you know what? Actually, all right, I'm gonna talk through this. Shaun White was the other name that came to my mind, but now that I'm thinking about it more deeply, Shaun White didn't really come on the scene until like 2010 was a Winter Games, I think, and that may have been like the first time that anyone heard his name. So I'm going to stick with my original gut feeling here. Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk is correct. Nice job, Sam. Way to reason that out. All right, that gets you the following tangents. Birds, sports, parks, or the 2010s?
Birds. Bird trivia. Let's go with, stick with parks. Keep going on parks.
Sticking with parks. Open since 1870, what Sandusky, Ohio theme park contains 72 attractions, including 16 roller coasters like Corkscrew, Magnum XL 200, Mean Streak, and Millennium Force?
I'm fairly certain this is the one that we have not been to, which I believe makes it Cedar Point.
Cedar Point. Is correct. Nice job, Sam. And that puts you at 11 points and gets you the tangents plants, Ohio, The 1870s, or Parks?
Continuing with Parks, Russ.
Continuing with Parks. And your question is going to be this. Founded in San Francisco in 1968, what company's logo was designed 3 years later by graphic artist David Alcorn as a stylized representation of the Half Dome Rock Formation in Yosemite National Park?
All right, this one is another... It's going to take me a few seconds to picture some logos here and go through the list. Sure. 68, 1971, Half Dome Rock. Probably makes it outdoors. You know, if I'm wrong, I won't mind being wrong because I feel like this is still a really good guess. So is it the North Face?
Sam, it is the North Face. Oh,
thank God.
Nice logicking. Nice job. That's one of those where, yeah, if you guess that, you're happy at least. Right. It's a good guess.
Right.
Yeah. Here are your tangents. The 1960s, logos, parks, or retail?
Let's go, you know, Parks hasn't failed me yet.
Well, here we go. Although Robert Indiana's original red-lettered love sculpture sits in a museum in Indianapolis, the most well-known reproduction sits in what city's JFK Plaza, unofficially known as Love Park?
Okay. There's two things that are flashing into my brain, and one of them is a trick answer that I think I've messed up this question on before, and the other I think is the right answer. This could be it for old Sammy.
Well, you've done well.
Yeah. Well, I'll verbalize it. That's worked for me in the past.
There you go.
My two things that I think of are Dallas and Philadelphia, and I think the answer is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Going with Philadelphia. Good thing. It is Philadelphia.
Oh, I think, man.
The love might have been in your head because of Dallas Love Field, the airport.
Right.
Yeah. But that is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And here are your tangents. Indiana, art, museums, or parks?
Parks away.
Parks away. SpongeBob SquarePants, Rock Bottom Plunge, and the Fairly Odd Coaster are rides at Nickelodeon Universe, a theme park you can find at what popular tourist spot built on the former site of the home stadium of the Twins and Vikings?
I know that there are coasters and such craziness inside this building, but is it big enough to have a whole theme park inside of it? The fact that it's a theme park at a tourist spot, I'm pretty sure is leading me to the conclusion that this is in the Mall of America.
It is in the Mall of America.
Nice.
Nice work. All right. Your next set of tangents, Nickelodeon, parks, stadiums, or tourism?
Sports are re-entering the current here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm comfortable enough to change it up now. Let's try Nickelodeon. That's definitely my era.
Nickelodeon. Okay. What recording artist played Cat Valentine on the Nickelodeon shows Victorious, iCarly, and Sam and Cat before releasing her 2013 debut album, Yours Truly?
That is, give me a second. I'm going to come up with her name. Cat was, you know what? I'm pretty sure this is wrong, but I'm not thinking of any other names from these TV shows right now. Is it Jeanette McCurdy?
It is not Jeanette McCurdy.
Dang. She wrote a book or something, didn't she?
She was Sam on Sam and Cat.
Yeah. Gosh,
this
darn it.
Was Ariana Grande.
Oh, no. That Sam. Is humiliating.
Oh, it's so odd for Sam to go out on a question about a Sam. But
that is ironic. Yeah. The cruel irony of tangents strikes again.
Exactly. Sam, you crush it. You had 14 points. You were awesome today. Do you have anything to plug or shout out before we say goodbye?
I can't say anything specific I want to plug. I will just remind and encourage everyone, go out and find a local place in your neighborhood, in your city, play some trivia, and let your hosts know that you have enjoyed their services that evening. They love hearing that.
Amen. Couldn't agree with you more. Thanks a lot, Sam.
Hey, thank you, Russ. This was fantastic. I cannot wait for my second appearance.
I can't either.
If you'll have me.
Of course. All right, Sammy. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Russ. Have a good one.
Thanks again to Sam, and thank you for listening. Be sure to check the show notes for links, subscribe if you haven't already, and spread the word. We can always use more listeners. And if you'd like to try your hand at the game, there's a link to the sign-up form in our link tree. I'll see you next week.